Pueden tomar asiento.
You may take your seats right now. Now we are going to give the floor to Steve Crocker, the president of the ICANN board.
Good morning again. I'm actually quite awestruck. That was just an awesome speech. It was. Those of us who are have the opportunity or sometimes the obligation to make these speeches say, as you might expect, a number of pro forma standard things. And sometimes there is real content and real fire in our speeches. And this is one of the ones that I think will be remembered and carried around the world. Truly an excellent speech. Resonates on a number of levels. Hard act to follow, I'm afraid. By accidents of time and place and just general good fortune, I had the pleasure of being involved in networking from quite an early point of view. I got involved in the original ARPANET project in the U.S. In 1968, more than 40 years ago. It was at that point a research project, but even though it was a research project, it rapidly, within the research community, became a service. That is, we depended upon it in a very distinct and definite way every single day. That reliability of what was originally cast as an exploration of this technology, the reliability was paramount. And on the basis of that initial experiment, many things flowered quite rapidly. It changed our lives, those of us who were fortunate enough to be able to use that early technology. New relationships formed immediately, both professional and personal. We were able to collaborate with others at a distance, and it changed in a way that we all understand now, but was not fully planned. The speed at which we could get things done and the range of possibilities. And I'm talking about an era in which the number of people involved and the number of computers involved were infinitesimal by today's standards. Hundreds of people, tens of computers. And then things began to grow. Tens, hundreds, thousands, millions. We have billions, billions with a B, of people using the internet today. We have millions of computers or more. Hundreds of millions, probably, connected. And the growth has been in other dimensions as well. What started in the U.S. spread rapidly to specific specialized centers in Europe and elsewhere, and then began to gradually cover the entire globe. And it is ordinary now to go anywhere in the globe and expect to be fully connected. And our assembly here today and the fact that not only I, but anybody who stands before you knows that half of you are looking at your iPhones or iPads and multitasking is just a normal fact of life. Bandwidth, too, has grown from kilobits per second to megabits and now to gigabits. More capacity and functionality exists on one single iPhone than we had in the entire ARPANET 40-odd years ago. It's great. It's wonderful. Another very important and not necessarily planned or the only possibility that emerged from the very same work was a tradition of openness. We were fortunate for a variety of reasons that it was natural to those of us working on the network at the time to feel a sense of camaraderie instead of competitiveness, and to welcome the participation of others. And that sense of openness also played out in the technical thinking, that we understood that we could not anticipate all of the uses that this technology would bring, that it was not our job to prescribe exactly how things were going to be used. And therefore, an absolutely central focus was to leave room for others to build their ideas on. So the architecture of the original network was open. The structure was modular and granular, very small parts, layers, as we call them. And we fully expected that there would be new services, new ideas, ones that we may or may not have anticipated. We had some idea of what might be possible and what would come, but we also understood that it would be foolish for us to insist that our views or our expectations would be the only way that things would happen. And so it came to pass that the World Wide Web was created by physicists in Switzerland, that eBay revolutionized auctions and Amazon revolutionized the retail sales of books first and then many other things, that Google revolutionized search, that Skype and Twitter and Facebook would all come about from individual initiatives in the least expected places. My children have gone to Harvard. I would never have expected a Harvard student to create anything useful. But as children of the 60s and 70s, we fully appreciated creating a system in which no permission was needed and no planning was required in advance. And of course, for all of these enormously successful efforts that have affected us and many others that are also successful, even if not quite at the same rank, there are quite a few, uncountably many, other attempts that are much less successful, including outright failures. And that does not mean that they didn't serve a purpose or were not useful. And it does not mean even that the people who took the risks and put their hearts and treasures into it did not learn quite a bit and contribute and benefit themselves in many other ways. So this openness in a technical sense and in an organizational sense, and I want to mention that from an organizational perspective, the other aspect of the early roots, the creation of documents that are now known as RFCs, are available around the world free of charge to anyone without permission or any kind of procedure. They're available 7x24, download them, read it, and if you wish, go off and invent whatever you like. I have been introduced to graduate students in India and elsewhere who do amazing projects. And when I ask, how did you do this? They say, I just downloaded the RFCs, read them, and figured it out. The Internet Engineering Task Force, which is the home of where new protocols are created. And if you think that we've created all the protocols we need, there are 100 or so working groups working in parallel in the Internet Engineering Task Force day in, day out, and they meet like we do three times a year around the world, a quite vibrant and open activity. Again, no permission needed. Anybody may join, and anybody may join any working group, and there's not even a membership card. You just are. New people arrive and learn in that environment, and that fuels the next round of innovation and development. ICANN is, by those standards, relatively young. We were created in 1998, but we are very much a part of this tradition. We are created for a relatively small, seemingly modest task of coordinating the unique parameters of the Internet, the protocol parameters for the many protocols created by the IETF, a very light hand at coordinating the allocation of addresses that are used in the Internet, IPv4 addresses, now IPv6 addresses, and the underlying autonomous system numbers used by the routing system. And, of course, the part that gets the most attention, the top level of the domain name system. You will hear an enormous amount about various aspects of the domain name system. I will say a little bit. I will leave it to others to talk about the big efforts. I want to focus attention on the work that is underway at this meeting, and in particular, the work of the supporting organizations and the advisory committees that form the backbone of the ICANN community. Within the at-large community, the LACRALO Summit is taking place this week, and it's a historic event that has an enormous amount of work in a short period of time. I congratulate all of the members who have made it happen. Within the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, there are technical specifications for the domain name system expanded in two important ways: internationalized domain names and DNSSEC, the security extension for the DNS. And as you heard, Costa Rica is now in the forefront of providing protection for the domain name system on the Internet with the signing of the .cr domain. I want to congratulate all of the people who have worked on that. That is a very important goal, and it is not only important for Costa Rica, but it is important for all of the people who seek to access zones that are part of the Costa Rica domain. And it is important as a signal, as a leadership in the region and around the world to say this is an important thing to do. So, again, I congratulate Costa Rica, and I think that this is a very important development in the security arena. The Country Code Names Supporting Organization, that is the CCNSO, continues to grow. I believe it now has 126 members, including 17 new members during the past year, and specifically the inclusion of the .pf domain from registry from French Polynesia and the .tl from Timor-Leste. I also want to recognize Patricio Pobletti, who is stepping down after the founding, stepping down now since the founding in 2004 and his work in the predecessor DNSO since 1999. That is an extraordinary amount of time and effort devoted to this modest enterprise, and is extremely appreciated. I mentioned the GNSO, and of course, within the Generic Names Supporting Organization, we have the introduction of new GTLDs. That is now a project that is being overseen by a dedicated staff within the ICANN organization. It is the largest and most demanding task that we have ever taken on. And there has been an extraordinary amount of effort and focus to make this effort successful. The application window opened in January and will close next month in April. We are all waiting eagerly to see how many applications will have come in. We have been extremely careful with the information because we know that it's sensitive. And so only a small core of people segregated off from the others and using very protected facilities have are part of that process. None of the board members, and I understand that essentially none of the management or and rest of the staff at ICANN are privy to that information. So if you are inclined to ask me, so how many have come in? How many applications are there? What do you know? The answer is I don't know any more than you know, and we are all going to wait quite eagerly. Finally, we take transparency and accountability quite seriously. There was an affirmation of commitments made a couple of years ago, and it triggered multiple external reviews. One of them is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, and they delivered their report some time ago. The board of ICANN accepted all 27 of their recommendations, and we are in high gear implementing each of them. I am personally paying attention to the progress of the implementation and working closely with the staff to see what that progress is and check off the ones that are done and focus attention on the ones that are not yet done. A second review team is the Who Is Review Team. They have delivered their draft report and will be holding a public meeting this week. Feedback during the meeting and during the comment period is strongly encouraged, and we will go through the same process of examining closely the recommendations, trying to understand what it will take to implement them, feasibility issues, clarity issues, and take that very seriously. Excuse me. Finally, a security, stability, and resiliency review team is also at work and is moving along briskly and has draft results. And as we have done with the other efforts, we will be tracking that equally closely. We have a busy and productive week in front of us, as we always do. I applaud all of you who have come to Costa Rica, all of the people of Costa Rica who have worked hard to provide this lovely venue and excellent arrangements, and indeed they actually are working. We are a very demanding group. We have many of us have been here since the middle or even earlier last week, and we have thoroughly tested the facilities. It is all very nice. And finally, we applaud all of those who are participating remotely. We have made great strides in remote participation, and we are very pleased to see that this is working ever more smoothly. With that, I thank you. I welcome you to ICANN 43. I suggest that you take a few minutes to figure out not only how to maneuver through this maze of buildings and meeting rooms, but through the maze of items on the agenda. There are so many things going on that it takes literally a team of people to cover them all. With that, thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here, and I am really thrilled to see all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve, for the excellent presentation. And we will now hear remarks from Raul Chavarria, CEO of LACNIC, an important pioneer in the internet and all the governance structures in Latin America.
Muy buenos días.
Good morning. As you can imagine, I will be speaking in Spanish. So I'll give you a little bit of time to get ready and start using your earpieces and receivers. Minister of Science and Technology, Alejandro Cruz, President of the National Academy of Science, Gabriel Macaja, Dr. Steve Crocker, Chairman of the ICANN Board, Mr. Rod Beckstrom, President and CEO of ICANN, Hartmut Glaser, President of the Steering Committee of Internet Brazil, authorities, ladies and gentlemen, in my capacity of LACNIC's CEO, it is a real pleasure to participate in this meeting organized by ICANN in Costa Rica. This is once again a possibility of Latin American countries to show their host capabilities by setting higher and higher quality standards that pose a challenge to future hosts. I want to congratulate the National Academy of Sciences, and I will be somewhat original because I will congratulate Dr. Guy de Terramond. He is one of the pioneers or founding fathers. He has been referred to as the founding father of the Internet in Costa Rica, but I also remember him as a member of a small group of pioneers in Latin America and the Caribbean. We used an email exchange list with no more than 40 and 50 members, and that was the heart of the origin of the Internet in the years to come. So, Guy, I really thank you for your efforts devoted to the initiative. It is no small feat to have the Internet community meeting in this country, a country that, in spite of geographical hurdles and location, has always ranked among the best leading countries in terms of the Internet society and information society. But there are other defining traits that apply to Costa Rica. Its peaceful mission, as reiterated by their president and enshrined in their historic decision taken many years ago to stop having military forces and setting an example to the rest of humanity. But Costa Rica also cares for the ecosystem, for the environment. They have a development vocation. They want to promote development, but caring for the environment at the same time. We can draw a significant parallel with what we are doing here, because, after all, what we are doing in this community, a community made up of people committed to the development and promotion of the Internet, but also to the caring and strengthening of the Internet ecosystem on a daily basis. This year is a very significant year, not only to me, but also to LACNIC, because we are celebrating our 10th anniversary. In the last 10 years, LACNIC has grown dramatically and is fully immersed in the regional community, and also is fully aware of its mission that goes beyond the bureaucratic allocation of IP addresses and also encompasses the development of the Internet and information in Latin America and the Caribbean. And we have worked along these lines throughout all these 10 years. On looking back, we feel proud of our accomplishments in terms of development, adoption of IPv6, increase of security aspects on the Internet, strengthening the development of regional infrastructure, contributing to Internet exchange points, creating communities. One of our main achievements is the strengthening and creation of communities that generate stronger and stronger synergies. But we feel proud not only of what we have accomplished, but of how we have accomplished it. We have always focused on the participation of all the regional stakeholders in a collaborative environment. We are a thriving community in the region, and this is reflected here in the high turnout of regional representatives. We have government, civil society, commercial sector, technical internet organizations, representatives. And this ICANN meeting is no doubt a great opportunity for this thriving regional community to increase its immersion in the global community. This is a meeting platform that we Latin Americans have to leverage. No doubt, as Dr. Crocker mentioned in his examples, we can appreciate the significance of the Internet to humanity on the whole in the last years. More than 25% of the global population has Internet access, and in some countries, that connectivity reaches 100%. Therefore, Internet is a reality that cannot be ignored and that has enabled stakeholders to place more significance on it. No doubt, we see tension and friction on a daily basis, tension that is related to the policies that will define the future development of the Internet. This is a natural thing to observe. I think we need to come to terms with it. And as the President of Costa Rica mentioned in her excellent speech, there have been some pivotal points that have been the focus of debate and controversy in the last months. However, these debates and controversies in relation to the development of the Internet are only natural, and they are somewhat a reflection of the success of the Internet. This success and the benefits that Internet has brought to humanity show, no doubt, the success that open, collaborative, and multi-stakeholders models have had, which so far have been the basis of the Internet governance and that have offered this appropriate enabling platform to this development that I was mentioning.
When it comes to the region, this is a decade of development and large opportunities for the Latin American region and the Caribbean region. Some people say this is the decade for the region. But for us to be able to seize all these opportunities and keep on moving forward, we need a strong and stable Internet as a basis. And this can only be achieved by working together with all the sectors. LACNIC has committed itself to work for an Internet to all of us, a plural and open Internet for the benefit of human development, acting as a catalyst for human rights exercise in all the world. And in this enterprise is that we invite you all to keep on working to reach these goals. ALCA, the organization we have created, with its forums and participation tools, is undoubtedly one of the most important meeting points for our communities to keep on working in our collaborative approach. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Raul, for your
review of the history of the Internet ecosystem and advancement in Latin America and the world. And now it's my honor to introduce Mr. Hartmut Glaser, Chief Executive Secretary of CGI.br, which is the Brazilian Multi-Stakeholder Internet Steering Committee for the entire government of Brazil on all Internet issues, not just domain name issues, but also broadband, penetration, wireless, all aspects of technology. It's a very interesting model. And he is advising the government in this top role and, of course, is a very important contributor to the development of many of the Internet stakeholder groups, including ICANN as an organization. Hartmut.
Para quebrar pouco o espanhol e o inglês, eu vou falar em português.
My name is related to the LACNIC and Advisory Committee, but I am speaking on my own representation, and the only responsibility about what was said, it is mine at all. I cannot blame anyone for this. I'm not speaking on behalf of any of the organizations mentioned. But all the topics mentioned by the president and other speakers will be repeated by me and emphasized by me. I'm going to start saying that I have a dream. And this was the name given to a historical public speech delivered by the American political activist Martin Luther King, in which he spoke about the union and harmonious coexistence between black and white people. The speech, delivered on August 28, 1963, from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., as part of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, was a decisive moment in the history of the American civil rights society movement. Far from considering myself a new Martin Luther King, but with great satisfaction and deep conviction, and also very humbly, I come before you to defend the principles that I consider relevant and fundamental to our internet. I have attended 40 times the ICANN meetings, and I have always had the same goal in mind, to ensure the internet is made by all and for all. This meeting here in Costa Rica is my 41st attendance. My purpose is still the same. I keep on dreaming and working towards a truly universal internet for all and self-regulated without governments and other external agents' intervention. I believe that internet use should be steered by the principles of freedom of speech, individual privacy, and respect for human rights. As I believe this, are critical to ensure a fair and democratic society. Internet governance must be transparent, multilateral, and democratic, with the participation of several segments of societies, preserving and fostering its collective creation nature. Internet access should be universal in order to be an instrument to social and human development, contributing to the creation of an inclusive and non-discriminatory society for the benefit of all. Cultural diversity must be respected and preserved. And its manifestation should be always encouraged, whereas belief, customs, and values should not be imposed. Internet governance must promote ongoing development and the spread of new technologies and models for internet use and access. Privilege and traffic privilege should only respect just technical and ethical criteria, and political, commercial, religious, or cultural reasons, or any other form of discrimination or favoring should not rule. The fight against internet crime must ensure that all responsible individuals are accountable, not penalizing means of access and transport, and ensuring that the highest principles of protection of freedom, privacy, and respect for human rights are complied with. The stability, safety, and functionality of the global network must be actively protected through technical measures compatible with international standards and by promoting best practices used by all. Internet should be based on open standards, enabling the interoperability and the participation of everybody in its development. The legal and regulatory environment must preserve the dynamics of the internet as a space for collaboration. The internet's main worth is its social value. Much more than being a technological environment, internet creates an atmosphere for human communication, commercial transactions, and knowledge share opportunities. This environment must be available to everyone, regardless of the hardware, software, and network infrastructure available, or the culture, geographical localization, physical or mental skills, socioeconomic status, or the level of education of every individual. The universality and diversity of the internet must be sustained and further developed as intended by the Brazilian internet governance model, which is based on a democratic, transparent, and pluralistic model, whereby the participation of different sectors of society is ensured. This governance that is also based on principles of collaboration, collective creation, ethics, and human rights, ensuring that individuals with visual, hearing, mobility, or mental impairments, or any other disabilities have the necessary means to understand, browse, interact, and develop in the web environment is a condition for the evolution of internet into a universal and inclusive design. Inclusion must also reach new generations and the elderly, taking into account the training required to produce new digital skills. More than transforming the way in which we communicate, internet has changed the nature of our social relations. The internet as a whole is an environment that creates new meeting places, business transactions, and personal relationships often take place without personal meetings. Confidence on the internet is a direct product of the right to freedom of speech, researching, and browsing. By using technological standards and models that ensure user privacy and security, internet has become a space where disputes, closures of certain corporate services and proprietary services, and invasion of privacy occurred, and confidentiality is broken. As the ICANN, we have been challenged to find a consensual space among principles and guidelines that would ultimately ensure that the internet remains as an open and universal platform. I hope for excellent meetings to all participants with high-level discussions and discussion-making that truly stands for the internet made by all and for all. I hope that this event here in San Jose de Costa Rica is a landmark in the march for an internet based on principles of freedom of speech, individual privacy, and mainly respect for human rights, becoming a decisive moment in the history of an international movement of digital inclusion of more than 7 billion people in our planet. This is my dream. Thank you very much.
Wow. I thought I've been a high-energy presenter before, but you're the master, and a class of your own, Lieber Hartmut. I think that completely redefines the term of internet evangelist. Thank you again, mein lieber Freund. Ganz ausgezeichnet. Ganz toll. We often say the internet community is an ecosystem, and that is an effective way to communicate its complexity and interdependence. So it's fitting that this week, the internet community is gathered here in beautiful Costa Rica, where examples of stunning, natural, and complex ecosystems exist in abundance and harmony. Few places on Earth can rival Costa Rica and its vast variety of plants, animals, and insects. Despite its relatively small size, it is home to almost 5% of the world's species, including more than 1,000 species of butterflies alone. The rainforest is tremendously varied, with red-eyed frogs, soaring trees wrapped in vines, and emerald and turquoise quetzal birds perched on verdant branches. In fact, there are so many plants and animals in Costa Rica that scientists have yet to name them all. What is less obvious is their interdependence. Remove one inhabitant from the ecosystem, and you can trigger ripples of change throughout the ecosystem. It's easy to apply that thinking to the internet. The complex interplay of technology, organizations, and individuals is what makes the global internet work. A little more than a year ago, a small event, photos posted on a Facebook page in Tunisia, sparked massive protests across the Middle East and redirected the future of an entire region. And in that moment, the power of this ecosystem was demonstrated beyond any shadow of a doubt. The new world moves fast. Change comes rapidly and often unexpectedly. But our multi-stakeholder decision-making model can be slow, sometimes painfully slow. Traditional top-down structures may at times get things done quickly. But in doing so, many voices do not get heard, and we need to hear them. The multi-stakeholder model we live by is built by consensus from the bottom up, and that gives voice to the millions whose future is tied to the internet. This model was created to protect the security and stability of the domain name system. It is adaptive, decentralized, and highly resilient. And it will need to remain resilient in the months and years ahead. ICANN has entered a period of profound change with important questions on the horizon. Look at what we face. A strong, growing, but still young, new generic top-level domain program. A decision on the renewal of the IANA contract. Growing concerns about cybersecurity. An increasingly complex global geopolitical landscape. And of course, a new CEO. And there is no doubt that more change will come. Pressures on this organization are growing. Political, ethical, financial, geopolitical, and operational. And all of this presents an enormous challenge to a small organization in transition. With fewer than 150 staff members covering activities around the world in an era of a rapidly expanding internet. Are we ready to take on these challenges? Yes, just as we have taken on many before. The new GTLD program has occupied much of our time, energy, and resources in recent months. Development of this complicated, multi-layered program has demanded detailed operational and financial planning, all while scrupulously maintaining independence and objectivity in our approach to applicants, hence the no-coke rule. The internet has always been fertile ground for innovation, and ICANN has long been committed to nurturing that potential by creating more competition and consumer choice in the domain name market. You can't predict innovation,
but you can create an environment that fosters it. That is the primary goal of the new GTLD program. In getting the program underway, we have met each challenge through careful planning and engagement with this community. And just as our thorough preparation ensured that the application window opened smoothly and on schedule, we are equally ready for the next phase. As of last night, we have 254 registered users in the online application system. Each user can submit multiple GTLD applications. So when the registration period closes later this month of the 29th of March, in just 17 days, we will know the total number of users, but we will still have only a rough idea of how many applications we can expect by the 12th of April. We have an operational plan in place to ensure a smooth and neutral evaluation process, whether it's 30 applications or 3,000. Although a new phase of work is about to begin, the staffing and budgetary considerations have been met, and we are ready to implement the next phases. A significant part of the program has been incorporation of substantial new protections for rights holders. ICANN has worked collaboratively with world-renowned trademark and intellectual property experts throughout the six-year policy development and implementation process to create the strong trademark protection mechanisms that are now embedded in the program. The new GTLD space will offer significantly improved protections that have been developed through this exhaustive process. We're creating a system to facilitate rapid takedowns of domain names for clear-cut cases of infringement. We're implementing a trademark clearinghouse to support rights protection requirements like sunrise periods and trademark claim services offered by new GTLDs. Since November, a group of community volunteers has devoted considerable time and attention to assisting ICANN in working out the implementation details of the clearinghouse. We thank them. The next big milestone is the publication of the applied-for new GTLD strings in early May. This transparency will help build awareness so that trademark holders and others can determine what steps, if any, to take in response. The ability to object is a fundamental protection, not just for trademark holders, but for members of communities who believe an applied-for GTLD could misrepresent their community. So even if your organization has not applied, it's important to pay close attention to see if your rights or other legitimate interests are at risk from someone else's application. We also thank the Joint Applicant Supporting Working Group and the Board of Directors for their work in launching the new GTLD Applicant Support Program on the 12th of January. It's intended to provide financial and non-financial assistance to qualifying applicants who might otherwise be unable to take advantage of the new GTLD program opportunities. It's been rewarding to see the community embrace this program so enthusiastically. 15 organizations and individuals have already stepped up to offer pro bono assistance in application writing, IPv6 infrastructure, DNSSEC consulting, and internationalized domain name implementation, and we encourage others to join them. An independent volunteer evaluation panel being formed right now will decide which applicants receive this financial support. The panel will play an important role in the applicant support program. Applications to the panel will be accepted through the end of March. IDN initiatives are going strong. The IDN CCTLD fast track process continues to support eligible countries and territories. To date, there are 31 IDN CCTLDs in the route, representing 21 countries and territories, and the new GTLD program will bring even more opportunities for organizations to expand with IDN new GTLDs. Broadening the domain name system will allow the use of scripts like Arabic or Chinese at the top level and lets the Internet more closely mirror all of the people who depend upon it. We have just completed the first two phases of the technically complex IDN variant issues project. More than 60 experts around the world participated in 6 variant case studies in phase 1, and many also took part in phase 2. The study has illustrated clearly there's not just one variant problem. There's a vast range of cases that our experts have begun to classify. Now we can better see the complexity of the problems and begin to address it. This is important work that has not been done before, and we should reflect on that initial accomplishment as we enter into the next phase. ICANN approaches IDN variants the same way it considers any other complex issue that comes from the community, with the help of community experts. We will continue to study and resolve them, taking into account many points of view. And above all, we will stand firm in our commitment to keep the Internet secure, stable, and unified. As I said earlier, the new GTLD program naturally has been the focus of ICANN staff and the community in recent months. But another key effort has also been underway. Since we met in Dakar in October, teams of dedicated staff and registrar representatives have been meeting to strengthen the terms of the registrar accreditation agreement. The war against cybercrime and DNS fraud is being waged 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the registrars, along with the entire ICANN community, recognize that law enforcement needs appropriate tools, among them better information about who owns and operates websites, subject to appropriate privacy considerations and protections. I have been impressed by the time and effort that the registrar community has invested in this effort, at a time when many of them may also be assembling applications for new GTLDs. They have demonstrated that they understand their role in fighting e-crime and have shown remarkable willingness to resolve issues quickly. As you can see from the documents published prior to this meeting, we've made progress on several fronts. The negotiations are expected to incorporate amendments that address each of the 12 law enforcement recommendations, including who is verification requirements, requiring registrars to maintain points of contact for reporting abuse, enforced reseller obligations, heightened obligations relating to privacy and proxy services, and increased compliance mechanisms. The negotiation includes discussion of substantial and unprecedented steps to improve the accuracy of WHOIS data. I hope you will join us later today for a session to explore different methods of verifying WHOIS data. The long history of ICANN's work on WHOIS clearly illustrates how difficult this issue has been to resolve. I hope the community can find a solution that balances the needs of law enforcement to stop criminal activity with the concerns about privacy and free speech. Whether you represent a government or a registrar or a privacy or a free speech advocate or simply an individual internet user, we encourage you to join the discussion. Global adoption of DNSSEC is also a high priority for ICANN. It is a classic example of the bottom-up, multi-stakeholder approach in action. And its development in the IETF, along with international participation in DNSSEC root operations, has helped address immediate DNS security concerns. It is also a catalyst for the development of innovative security applications to help stem the global tide of cyber attacks. Greater support by registrars, ISPs, registrants, and enterprises will build on current infrastructure deployment efforts to bring a better product to customers. Recent reports on DNS redirection attacks, support for DNSSEC by large ISPs like Comcast, and comments from governmental officials have highlighted DNSSEC's value. We ask all ISPs to turn on DNSSEC validation, including those in Costa Rica. This is an important global effort, and we need everyone's help to make it happen. Here in San Jose, members of ICANN's Latin American and Caribbean Islands Regional At-Large Organization, or LACRALO, which is now 5 years old, have kicked off a week of activities, including a series of capacity building and General Assembly sessions for their members.
They will also hold a showcase that highlights the achievements of their at-large structures. Minister of Science and Technology Secretary Alejandro Cruz and Raul Echevarria, LACNIC CEO and Chair of ISOC, will be keynote speakers. As Afralo did so well at that great ICANN meeting in Dakar, LaCrala will offer training and networking opportunities to help its members become more effective volunteers in the ICANN community. The results of the Afralo events have been spectacular. Participation in the monthly Afralo teleconferences has risen 30% since Dakar. As a member of the Nigeria Internet Users Coalition stated, these sessions were a window that made me see and understand ICANN and at-large issues. I hope that the LaCrala events will be equally successful. I thank LaCrala for organizing them, and Chair Jose Francisco Arce and Secretary Dev Anand Tilak Singh for their leadership. Let's give them a hand. For many years, ICANN has been providing its services over IPv6, and we are one of more than 900 website operators who have joined the Internet Society in its campaign to further the adoption of IPv6 through World IPv6 Launch Day on the 6th of June. Three of the most popular websites in the world, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, have signed up, as have dozens of network operators and all five regional internet registries. If you've not done so already, I urge you to join this effort and to spread the word that this is the year of IPv6. This year we'll see important decisions in the ITU community with respect to international telecommunications regulations that will be updated in December, and recommendations on the reform of the Internet Governance Forum being considered by the United Nations. Amidst all this activity, we must not lose sight of our role as stewards of a secure, stable, and interoperable Internet. We have a responsibility to the next generation of users to preserve and evolve the ecosystem. We must do this slowly and carefully, fully recognizing that we are interdependent with one another and with those who will come after us. This is an exciting time, a time of execution and a time of action, a time of promise and uncertainty, of opportunities and threats. A significant threat lies within ICANN's existing structure. Let's consider the nominating committee as an example. Preserving ICANN's ability to act independently in the public interest is paramount to the future of the Internet and this institution. In view of the need for broad representation within ICANN's governance, inclusion of industry representatives on the board and in our work supports the multi-stakeholder model, our means of ensuring independence. In the year since ICANN was formed, the number of Internet users has grown from 146 million to some 2.3 billion today around the world. The effects have been dramatic, bringing wholesale governance change and greater transparency to the entire world. I believe that ICANN, its board, and our community must keep pace with the growing diversity and expanding scope of the Internet. We must seize the opportunity to embrace the transparency and good governance that this precious resource deserves. ICANN must be able to act for the public good while placing commercial and financial interests in their appropriate context. How can it do this if all top leadership is from the very domain name industry it is supposed to coordinate independently? A more subtle but related risk is the tangle of conflicting agendas within the board that would make it more difficult for any CEO to meet the requirements of this deeply rewarding and sometimes frustrating job. Progress has been solid since I addressed ethics and conflict issues in my Singapore opening remarks. Along with greater engagement with the community, a subcommittee on conflicts and ethics of the Board Governance Committee was formed to help directors evaluate their potential conflicts. And as a result, this has increased instances where potentially conflicted members
have left board discussions. I applaud this change and believe it is time to further tighten up the rules that have allowed perceived conflicts to exist within the board. This is necessary not just to be responsive to the growing chorus of criticism about ICANN's ethics environment, but to ensure the absolute dedication to the public good always supersedes other priorities. ICANN has long been blessed with leaders of exceptional technical expertise. Now we are poised to consolidate and strengthen our position among leading world organizations to better serve the global public interest. To do that, we must broaden the pool from which our leaders are drawn. I believe this is as true for the board members, as well as for the next CEO. There is value in having community members with domain name industry experience, but it is equally valuable to avoid even the perception of a conflict of interest. It is also important that new and occasionally dissenting voices from outside this world and this industry be given a shot at a seat at the table in our boardroom. And as the Internet's global users become more diverse in their backgrounds, so too must our board. The nominating committee was created to ensure independence and diversity by balancing industry representation with genuinely independent directors representing a wide range of views. Have we lived up to this challenge? I believe candidates proposed by the NomCom should be fully independent and unconflicted. To ensure the truly independent selection of directors, it would seem desirable for NomCom members themselves to also come from outside the stakeholder groups already represented on our board through the stakeholder seats. It is my strong view that all members of the NomCom should be free of conflicts, and all directors selected by them should be financially independent of the domain name industry. This is a clear and simple bright line that should be drawn and enforced. To ensure the highest degree of professionalism and relevant skills, nominees for the board should also have board-level experience in organizations, whether governments, business, or the nonprofit world, that are of comparable size, staffing, global reach, and complexity. As ICANN grows and changes, the board must also. Reform of the board selection process is not just desirable, I believe it is imperative. Ideally, a fully independent and non-conflicted NomCom should be in place before the next nomination cycle begins. We continue to take steps to strengthen ICANN's conflict of interest procedures to address these issues. With the board's strong support, we've engaged a group of highly respected international experts to advise on reviewing ICANN's code of conduct. This team consists of German Brooks, Aaron Kramer, and Mervyn King, each renowned for his significant contributions in the field of ethics. A key challenge for my successor will be to find his or her place in this environment and to continue the drive to clarify and cast sunlight on the sometimes murky relationships that exist among the board, staff, community, and industry. I've already shared my views with the selection committee about the qualities that I feel a new CEO should bring to ICANN and the challenges that person is likely to face. I've committed to the board, and I commit to you that I will do my utmost to ensure a smooth and successful transition, including helping my successor to navigate the complexities of these existing relationships if that assistance is requested. I believe the next CEO must accept that ICANN's place in the world has fundamentally changed. It is on a higher public stage, engaged at a much more influential level than at any time in its history. In Brazil, China, India, Qatar, Russia, Turkey, this organization is now known and respected and welcomed at the highest levels. We need look no further than the gracious participation of President Chinchilla in this meeting this morning for evidence of this. Among global organizations like the International Red Cross, Interpol, the Organization of American States, the OECD, SWIFT, the Universal Postal Union, and the World Economic Forum, ICANN is a partner and a collaborator, a colleague engaged in a common public mission.
That global posture echoes the work we have collectively done to make the Internet a reflection of the world's diversity. Through the affirmation of commitments, the United States government is no longer the overseer of ICANN and the domain name system. The world is. Through internationalized domain names, billions of users can now access the Internet in their primary language scripts. ICANN is now a respected participant in global cybersecurity efforts, strengthened by the introduction of DNSSEC around the world. Our engagement is demonstrated by our close collaboration with security organizations and operational security communities to address a current threat to the DNS and to prepare for future threats that may arise. We are encouraged to see such collaboration among community members. ICANN is now trusted on a global scale for its professionalism, skills, and technical knowledge. And that internationalization is reflected internally. Our small ICANN staff has taken on the face of the world community it serves. 30 nationalities are represented. 35 different languages are spoken. On our strong executive team, we now have regional vice presidents who reflect the regions they live and work in, with access and relationships at the highest levels of government and civil society. This world-class talent includes Nigel Hickson, who many of you know from his extensive involvement with this community through the GAC, and who joins us today as our Vice President for Europe. Please join me in welcoming Nigel Hickson. Dr. Xiaodong Li, our new Vice President for Asia, came to us from CNIC and serves as a bridge from Asia to ICANN. And of course, we are very proud to have Rodrigo de la Parra as our vice president here, as we are in his backyard in Latin America and the Caribbean. Xiaodong, I don't see you, but maybe you're here as well. You're not sitting in the front, but we welcome you as well. But they're a visible demonstration of our commitment to internationalization, and ICANN is enriched by their presence. And a more significant change in our philosophy, we are global, in our outlook, in our thought processes, in our daily life, in our reach, in public meetings like this, and in our operations, and in our community, we are global. When I arrived, people often asked, what is this organization, what does it do, and why does it matter? I rarely hear that anymore. Its importance is clear. Its role is clear. Its place on the world stage is clear. As I have shared with the CEO Selection Committee, here are certain qualities that are worth considering in selecting my successor. Courage, vision, globalism, strategic insight, leadership, endurance, integrity, and straight talk, and an absolute commitment to a secure, stable, and unified Internet. Whoever succeeds me will need all those skills and more to preserve and build on the many successes that ICANN and this community have collectively achieved. Together, we have reached new levels of performance and delivery on behalf of the world. Maintaining that standard will not be easy. This job is not impossible. It's just extremely difficult. But I love a good challenge, all of the ones up till now, and the ones in the months ahead. I look forward to the hard work, the discussion, the debate, the collaboration, just as you do, here in Costa Rica at ICANN 43. Thank you very much. And with that, we conclude. With that, we conclude our morning session, and let us continue with the rest of a fun and productive week. Thank you very much.